All right, the recorder has been started. James chapter 5. So, let's see, page number, I have page 424.
425.
425 in the paperback. All right, here we go. Forgive yourself for all of your sins, for they are only imagined. They were born of the desire to experience yourself differently from that which you are. But that which you are has remained unchanged. Therefore, every sin you ever imagined was only a game you played to pretend that you were different than you are. But games are not reality, and nothing in reality has ever changed because of games you choose to play. The image that I have as I'm reading that is a little bit of a strange image. You know, because what we are, you know, you could call it awareness or you could call it formlessness. But in my imagination, as I was reading that, I saw like a clear, kind of a clear, not clear, a whitish clear ball. But the ball, let's see if I can describe this. The ball is kind of like silly putty, maybe, is a good way to describe it, even though it was hollow on the inside. But you could pull it like you could a silly putty, you know? And so the ball had this part that it kind of pulled out. And what we are is the ball, but we thought we were the little character on the end of the pulled out portion. Does that make sense? And so that little character was sinning, you know, doing bad things, things that it knew it shouldn't do. Conscience is still there, it doing bad things. And we're back here, this big old ball, mostly of nothing, mostly of air, just being. Right? We're just being. While this little pinched out part is out here, quote, sinning. And the only thing that needs to happen in order for those sins to be absolutely meaningless, because they really are absolutely meaningless, is that somehow we have to let go of the pulled out pinched part, and it like pops back into the ball. And it's like the little pulled out pinch part never existed. That was kind of the image. Am I describing that okay? That's the image that was showing up in my mind as I was reading these paragraphs. Let me read the paragraphs to you again now that I've described the image. Forgive yourself for all of your sins, for they are only imagined. They were born of the desire to experience yourself differently from that which you are. So we're the big old ball, not the little pinched out part down here. But that which you are has remained unchanged. Therefore, every sin you ever imagined was only a game you played to pretend that you were different than you are. But games are not reality, and nothing in reality has ever changed because of games you choose to play. Be attentive in patience as you unwind the doll that was wound up within the games you have played. This doll shall be laid aside, and your joy will be known in abundance. So, of course, this is a different image being referred to in verses 7 to 9. That's referring to the old wind-up toys. We're all old enough to remember them. And when you wind up a toy, if you put it down, you know, remember how it just goes really, really, really fast. But if you don't pick it up and wind it up again, it kind of starts to slow.
It's really, really a super image.
Yeah.
I just find we're always like running around and putting so much effort. And when we stop and don't want anything, no desire, no nothing, it feels so good.
Yeah. You know, people, I've talked to several people who have gone on silent retreats. I've been on silent retreats myself. Most people say it takes 3 to 5 days on a silent retreat for the mind to even begin to slow down. You know, and that's, you know, that's 5 days of having nothing to do. I mean, at least the silent retreats I've been on, there's somebody else preparing your meals, right? You have nothing to do but be.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're just trying to be, the mind is, you know, and it's just chattering and chattering and chattering. But because there's nothing in the environment to really wind it up, you know, at a silent retreat. A silent retreat is designed that way, and you are trying to turn your attention away from it. You're actively turning your attention away from it, right? After about 3 to 5 days, it begins to slow down, and then you begin to experience some silence. And I remember the very first silent retreat that I went to was a 5-day silent retreat. And I had the same experience, three and a half days of, you know, chatter. And thought, oh my God, I'm a failure. You know, that's what you think when you're on these things. But then it started to get quiet. And when it got quiet, something else happened that was amazing. I guess communion is a good way to describe it. But I began to, and sparkles is another good way to, I began to really notice everything. Like even when I was walking down a sidewalk by the grass, I noticed the blades of grass as if they were beans, which is what they are. But that's how I was seeing them. And I noticed the every leaf on a tree and every bug that flew by. And it's like I was in communion with everything. And it was just so magnificent for that last day and a half, whatever it was. And then what was really funny is we had done it wrong. This was my first silent retreat. I was the leader, and I had done it wrong because I'd never done a silent retreat before. I did the 5-day silent retreat first, followed by a 3-day conference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that was a mistake. Yeah. And so what happened on Friday afternoon is all these other people started arriving, and everything got really busy. And it was such a drastic change from the silence. It only took a few hours of having all of that going on, and I started noticing. The first thing I noticed is I'm just walking right by this grass. Like, I'm not even noticing it. And you know what? That's the normal human condition. I mean, how, right? You just walk right by the grass.
Yeah, that happened to me too one time. I was listening to somebody playing classic guitar for like 2 hours. And I was just listening really, really good. And by the time I got up from there, I was the watcher.
Yes.
I was the witness. I was like feeling my feet,
yes,
you know, in the grass. I was watching myself eat. And it was so interesting. And I didn't know what was happening then. And then the retreat, I mean, it continued. And I got myself out of it because I had other things that I had to do. But if I'd realized, maybe I could have stayed in that, you know?
Well, it's funny because when she came to my house tonight, that's what I had been sitting there doing, was just sitting there listening to music, just instrumental music for half an hour. And I was teasing Danielle because I knew she didn't want me to, but I said, Danielle, do you want me to leave the TV on? And she goes, no, turn it off. And I said, I can't even hardly get out of it because the music was on the TV. I said, I can't even hardly get out of this chair. I don't have to go anywhere. I just want to sit here and listen to the music. But yeah, music, a very nice music, like the kind I was listening to and the kind it sounds like you were listening to. If you really listen, the mind can slow down very quickly because you can focus on the notes, and they're so entertaining, they keep the attention, right?
Right.
And the mind can slow down very, very quickly. But yeah, that's what this is talking about, is, you know, that doll needs to kind of unwind. And then when the doll unwinds and is laid aside, then we know our joy in abundance. And that's what the experience you and I had. I mean, such joy, even the grass and the eating. Yeah. How many times do we eat and we don't even notice that?
I know.
Eating?
It was something going, looking through my eyes. I knew that, you know, it was such an experience. And then
I Yeah. Verses 10 to 11. Job is the symbol of letting go of the toys within the world. Job is the symbol of faith and trust in truth above all illusions. You guys all know Job? Yeah, Dan, do you know Job?
Somewhat.
Somewhat. You know, he's the one that Satan made a deal with God. Satan said the only reason Job likes you is because you give him everything he wants. And God said, that's not true. And Satan said, let me prove it. And God said, go ahead. And so, like, Job had this really bad day. All of his sons were killed. All of his crops were burned. I can't remember what all happened, but this really bad, bad day. Because Satan just took everything away from him. And he still worshiped God. So that's what this is saying. This is saying that Job is the symbol of faith and trust in truth above all illusions, because even when he lost all of that stuff, he did not curse God, right? He loved God more than anything in the world. The rewards of heaven are greater than the joys of the world, because the glee of heaven is beyond the imagining of that which is different than glee. And again, you know, I described a very simple experience. Francine described a very simple experience. And glee is a good word. Bliss is a good word. Joy is a good word. I mean, being with the grass, when you can really enjoy just being with the grass, that's glee or bliss or something, right? Because usually, I mean, the grass is all around us, and we all go about our days, and we don't even notice there is grass, unless we have to mow it or something. And then we curse the grass, right, for growing. So yeah, it's very, you know, just to enjoy eating, enjoy, you know, walking on the ground, enjoy looking at the leaves of the tree. That's really the bliss. Now, the interesting thing is that's always available to us. Look at the next sentence. You are pretending to suffer. I mean, we got grass out there. We can go out there and be with it anytime we want. And, you know, we're pretending to suffer. We're ignoring the opportunities for bliss and glee that are all around us all the time. Be true to yourself means be true to your true desire, for that is the desire of yourself. Lay down your toys. Prepare yourself for ascension into heaven. And lay down your toys here really means let go of whatever you're thinking about all the time. That's where the toy is really happening. Learn to just be with here, now. If you're washing the dishes, pay attention to, you know, the warmth of the water, the smell of the suds, you know, just whatever you're doing, really be there. And if you just really be in this moment completely, you're laying down your toys. Because most of us are so distracted about the past and the future, you know, that we're going through the current moment and we don't even notice it. We don't even see it. Mm-hmm. And we all know what that's like, to eat a meal and not remember eating it, to drive a car and not remember driving it, right? Yeah.
There was something, too, that I was reading in NTI about judgments. You know, we have judgments one after another after another. And it was saying that we can't really let them go because we chose them, but we can give it to Holy Spirit to take them away.
Mm. Yeah.
So when we feel overwhelmed, there's always that choice to give it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and also, you know, another experience I had when I was learning to let go of constant judgment was they were wound up like the wind-up doll, and they'd fly out of mind so quick, you didn't have a chance to not judge. You judged before you knew you judged. But I remembered that undo button in Microsoft Word because I used to be a software trainer. And so I was always teaching people how to go up and just click on undo. And so I started clicking on undo. So, you know, I may judge something. I take that back. But it was clicking on undo. I just take that back. And I would do it without judgment, just with heart. Like, you know, I don't really want to do that. I take that back. And eventually, through saying, I take that back, you know, they naturally slow down. You know, and that's what this is talking about. Whether you're giving it to Holy Spirit, whether you're taking it, changing your mind, taking it back, undoing, you know, when that stuff starts to happen, you're no longer feeding the mind in the way that you were before, mm-hmm. which means you're no longer winding it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say that Ken Wapnick said it's not okay. At some point, it's not okay to be like that. It's not okay to judge. And when that is a happy day.
Yeah.
That's a very happy day, although it may show up different ways. But when I heard that, I was pretty stunned.
Yeah.
That you could actually do that. And then I, you know, if you have the capacity to do that, then you put it into action during the day. That's not, it's just not okay. Or I take that back.
It's
just another technique, but he turned me on to that.
It's
just not okay. I can't. And I've had so many guys leave, multiple guys leave. Irritated guy has left. So that's. I may go back and check that, as near as I can tell.
Yeah.
it's not okay. It's not okay for irritate. He's an unwelcome guest. And he left the party, and now the party's still going on. It's nice.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's just not.
Yeah, and of course, when Ken says it's not okay. He's able to say that without judgment. You know, it's not okay for me to do that anymore. Is that what
right,
you're saying?
Right, yeah. It's totally new. It's totally neutral.
Neutral.
That's there's
right.
There's no weight to it.
That's right.
At all. Well, another way is the denial of the denial. The different ways you can express that. But that, for me, that really, was a deal breaker. Because I had agreed to, if you do this, then I'll become irritated. You do that, I'll become irritated. All dependent on but yeah, so I take that back. It's not okay.
Yeah,
good stuff.
And habits change as we start doing those practices again. Giving it to Holy Spirit's another way. They're all, and you know, I'm sure there's a lot more we aren't talking about, but they're all different than just believing the judgment. Right? They're all not that. Yeah. I'm going to read, I may have read 13 to 16 before, but I'm going to read it again. I don't think I did read this. The true desire of the heart is also the prayer of the heart. For nothing else can be desired by the Son of our most holy God. To know thyself is glee, for to know thyself is to know everything. I told Francine that I watched Bentino last night. He teaches in Boulder every Monday night, and I always get this email with a link where I can click on it and from my house watch it, you know, live stream, and never do. But last night I did. And it was very exciting. I mean, what he was teaching was exciting. Bentino's always exciting, but what excited me maybe was something that most people didn't even notice. He was explaining to people that the world is actually inside of what you are. And he said, so if the world is inside of what you are, there's no way you can be victim to the world. You can decide, and this is very similar to the rules for decision in Course in Miracles, you can decide how you want the world to be. And because the world is in you, it will be that way. And he was very clear that he's not talking about controlling things. Like, he's not saying, oh, I want Priscilla to always say this to me when she first knew. He just meant, I can decide my perception of Priscilla, right? I'm not going to try and control Priscilla, right? And that's the perception I will have no matter what Priscilla does, right? So he was explaining this very carefully. But one word he used that I didn't use, because it's not the way I did it, is he said, you can make the world according to your preference. And he used that word preference many times. And I thought, you know what? He is trusting everybody completely. When he says you can, you know, have the world be according to your preference, he's not talking to the little person, the ego. He's talking to the self. He knows the self's preference is love. You can have the world be love. He knows the self's preferences are freedom. You can feel freedom when you're in the world. He knows the self's preference is peace. Joy, right? And he was saying you can have the world be according to your preference. And I totally got it that he was trusting everyone to be who they are as they're choosing their preference and then deciding that's how they want to see the world. You know, and I think A Course in Miracles in the Rules for Decision section, I think it really means the same thing. It's trusting you to be yourself when you make that decision about how do I want this day to be? And I know sometimes people misunderstand that, and I'm sure they misunderstood Bentino last night too. Like sometimes people will say, well, I don't have an arm, I want to grow a new arm. That's my decision. I want to see if that's going to happen today. I want to grow my arm. You know, all form-based. But that's a little person's concern, right? That's not the big self's concern. The big self isn't concerned about whether you have an arm or not, right? So if we look back at this, verses 13 to 16, the true desire of the heart is also the prayer of the heart, for nothing else can be desired by the Son of our most holy God. You see, this is the same sentence. This desire to know yourself is glee. In fact, I think Bentino said this last night. And this is, he didn't use the word glee, but he made the same point last night. to know yourself, to know who you are, that's really the only thing you want. God only wants to know God, right? That is your preference. That is how you can see the world. That is your only true desire. There's nothing else that you can want from anything. And that's why it's such a joy when the mind goes silent and you're interacting with the grass. The grass, for God's sakes. It's because when you're interacting with the grass, when that's occurring naturally, just because the mind has gone silent, God is playing with God. That's what's going on. You know, you're knowing yourself, the isness being with the isness. Or you call it being, being with being, right? That's what's happening, and that is the most exciting thing in the world. That is glee.
Well, you know, I experienced some part of that to a small degree with what our homework was.
Yes.
To, if you found yourself desiring something else, then pull yourself back to what is my heart's desire. I find that so wonderful because it allows me to let go of all that is worthless and of this world and just concentrate on who I am and get to know who I am, you know. And this is what I want. This is my heart's desire. And when I say that to myself, it just falls away, whatever that other desire was. It has no importance any longer, no weight, you know, and I can just leave it. Without any qualms of any kind, it just drops. And so I experienced that over and over throughout these 3 weeks whenever I would pull myself back to that. And I also said, you know, that I was going to try to live in the now, and that helped me do that. And so everything that I did while I was there, I tried to be present in the now and really see it, like you were saying about washing the dishes and all that. Everything that I was doing, I tried to be really present to what was happening. And there was so much peace and so much rest and in that. And it wasn't like jumping up and down happiness, but it was just such a contentment. But I experienced it in small little segments over and over again, you know, because I really tried to do the whole.
That's wonderful. And if you just keep doing those things, you know, it's going to expand.
And like when you were talking about what Bentina was saying, and you know, you say that too about the whole world being inside of us, you know, and I have really accepted that and want to be that. And to me, all of reality is God relating to God. You know, like when we're relating to the grass, that's relating to God because God is the grass. And like you said, there's nothing that isn't God. So that speaks volumes and volumes to me. And so I feel more close to God and more connected, I find myself checking in with God constantly throughout the day, you know, because of all that.
Thank you. I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah, thank you. All right, so let's go to sentence three then. Rejoice for your truth. Let go of illusions and the desire for illusion. Rest with true desire, and you rest peacefully within the seat of happiness. That's almost a summary of what you just said. I don't know if you heard yourself, but you called it resting, I think. You said that it was very restful or something like that, you know? This is saying rest with your true desire. So when you're asking, what do I truly want? And the other things flew away, you found that restful. Rest with your true desire, and you rest peacefully within the seat of happiness. And that does have a content sound about it, doesn't it? Resting peacefully in the seat of happiness.
Yeah, it does.
Everything that you experience comes from you and the desire that you allow. Rejoice that this is true and choose consciously the desire of your heart. This is exactly what Bentino was saying last night. He called it your preference. Right? But this is saying that's the only preference you could have because of who you are, of what you are. So rejoice that everything comes from you and then choose consciously the desire of your heart and you're gonna love life. You're gonna love life. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way means, and that's a direct quote from the Bible at James 5:19-20. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way means, whoever recognizes that he has been desiring what he does not desire and chooses to desire again in a new way, chooses also to save himself from a multitude of distractions in order to settle within the peace of his own heart. Amen. And that's the end of James. Wow, we're going to go into Peter next. That's great. I'm excited. I was reading Peter this morning. My post on Facebook this morning is from 1 Peter, which is what we head into next. So that's very exciting. Again, the key thought in all of NTI James We did do NTI James 4, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We'll make sure we didn't skip it. The key thought in all of James is remembering what you truly want. That's the key thought. And because that's the key thought, even though we just had that assignment for 3 weeks, I don't have another assignment. I think that we should just keep on doing that. Just whenever, and one thing you'll notice is that when you think you want something else and it's not there, it's okay to want what's there. Like, it's okay for me to want these moccasins that don't tie because they're on my feet. And if I want what's here, I'm going to be happy, right? But typically when we want, are we wanting what's here? No. Typically when we want something, we're wanting what's not here, right? And when you want what's not here, if you pay close attention, you're going to notice to one degree or another you're suffering, you're upset. You know, if you're desiring something that's not here, there's a degree of suffering. So notice that and then ask, what do I truly want? Shift into the true desire of the heart and notice the difference. Right? Notice how okay or content or satisfied or fulfilled. You know, notice the difference between just wanting your true desire and wanting whatever else it is that your mind was wanting. And you'll see a distinct difference in how you feel. So
what I've noticed also recently is tons of resistance, lots of resistance. And so what's been helpful is just feeling the resistance, just sitting there and feeling the resistance. And then after a while, it's replaced with spaciousness.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And in my experience, I don't know what your experience will be, but my experience has been, I've seen this over and over again, that resistance always comes just before my next major breakthrough.
Yeah.
So I've learned that even though resistance is no fun, I've learned to celebrate it because something's, you know, some new insight or something is coming because this resistance is getting mighty strong.
Yeah, sometimes I just feel the resistance is so big that I can't see my true desire. It's covered up totally.
Yeah.
But I can sit with the resistance. I can, it's big. It's big. It's not subtle. So I can sit with that and just, okay.
But you know what? That's proof that your willingness is as big as ever. Because you wouldn't be sitting with your resistance. What do you think is making you do that?
Yeah.
It's your willingness. It's your true desire. Yeah.
And that's just feel like guidance right now.
You maybe emotionally can't feel it, but it's there.
Yeah.
Or
you
wouldn't be doing it the way you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of my resistance more than my desire when I'm doing that, I guess.
All right, so this week we'll continue asking, what do I truly want? But we'll also take the time to notice the difference in how we feel when we're desiring something else and then when we shift into our true desire. How's that sound? So and then next week we get to start 1 Peter. I'm very excited about that. So I will turn off the recorder and we'll have a little bit of silence right here.